Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. Sunday, April 21st. We are one day past the spring showcase. Wrapping up spring football for FSU. Portal still really hot and heavy, and other things going on with the Seminoles that we'll talk about. Richie, how's your weekend been?
Good, man. My good buddy Cody, it was his birthday yesterday. Went up to Ocala and spent some time at his parents' house with him. Gave him a nice surprise that he thought he was going to a baby shower next Saturday. And I spoke with his wife. He's actually going to game four of the Magic Cavs game instead of the baby shower now. So he's pretty pumped about that.
That's dope. Double fries, no slaw. Brought to you by Guthrie's. You can visit all three of their locations, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, and 2870 Appalachie Parkway. Make sure that you get your gut box double fries, no slaw. Hopefully have some stuff coming with them fairly soon, maybe to start the fall. So maybe not that soon, but get through summer and then maybe we'll do something. So, all right, let's jump right into it. First, I'm going to recap the spring game, and then we will jump back in and talk a little bit about some portal possible additions, some guys that we could see maybe jump out. We did that last week, but maybe after spring now we can kind of have a little bit more clear of an idea. But first, the spring game. Yesterday in the spring game, lots of updates, lots of thoughts, a couple of injuries that we'll talk about here in just a moment, but an overall positive day. Let's jump right into it. So you start at the top with DJ Uiagalelei, who I thought looked really good. Now, I know there's a stat line running around. I know that there will be trolls, there will be rivals who say like, oh, this, that, and the other. I thought overall DJ looked really good. I thought he got off to kind of a slow start. It's so hard because they start out doing drills, right? And you're watching them run a series from backed up on their own goal line. And then you watch them do another series right up on the other goal line. And then after some drills, they start to get into the game. They start to get into what looks like a scrimmage. Again, very loose. And so I don't really care as much about the stats because the stats from those drills and stuff early are included. I thought DJ was hurt a little bit yesterday by drops. I thought he probably had three or four incompletions to start the scrimmage because of drops, because of just defensive line kind of getting after it. And then he really settled in and he really looked sharp. And I thought there were some nice back shoulder throws that he hit. One to Kentron that I thought was really, really good. I thought there were some back shoulder throws to Hakeem that he just missed that went out of bounds. Really, really good percentage of those are going to be caught or fall out of bounds. So I like the very low risk of them. I think he needs to work on that timing a little bit with some of the receivers, but for the most part, he was finding guys. You know, we'll talk about Benson, who did go down at one point. I thought he was really, really crisp with Malik Benson. I thought those two looked like they were very much in sync. It looks like they have the most natural chemistry. You know, we'll talk again about the injury in a minute, but I think Benson might be your wide receiver one at this point. Do they need to go and explore other options? Probably in the portal, they do. A very deep room, but I think Benson's probably the leader in that room. But overall, I thought DJ looked very comfortable. I thought a couple of the long passes, just showing off the arm. He had one very early that was like a step or two ahead of where Benson was. But I mean, he just let the thing fly and took very little effort to do it. I think that was probably the longest pass of the day. Didn't complete it, but I thought that that's kind of where you're seeing the reports of, oh man, the arm is there. The arm talent and how this guy can just launch it is absolutely there. What I've been consistently told by people out at practice, the staff, the people that we chat with, is that DJ wants to push the ball down the field. That wasn't necessarily Travis's MO. Obviously, you're talking about different kinds of arm strength, but DJ wants to push it down the field and air it out a little bit. And I think you saw that yesterday. Once he settled in, I thought he looked really, really comfortable. I didn't think that the referees were calling pass interference at all. Obviously, there was one down on the goal line that was called, but there were a couple over the middle that I thought guys got held on, and it just looked like they were letting them play. It's a scrimmage. It's not even a game. It's not even a spring game. So they just kind of left it wide open and let them play. I think if you take away a couple of the drops, if you take away or add to, you know, him getting a couple of completions with some pass interferences, I think you're looking at a pretty respectable stat line. I don't care about the stat line. I thought he looked composed. I thought he looked really sure of himself. I thought he looked really good rolling out with the ball. That was something that I didn't know what I would expect there, what we'd really get out of him. I thought when he was moving and on the move, he looked really good. He looked sharp. And again, he was finding guys. I didn't think our wide receivers helped him very much. We could talk about that position group a little bit. But overall, I was pretty impressed with DJ, and I thought he looked really good. I think you're going to get a couple of, you know, WTF throws every game, maybe one a game. He had one that a couple that maybe should have been picked off, had some nice plays by some defenders on other ones. But, yeah, you may get a head-scratcher once a game, twice a game. But overall, I thought he was really, really good. And if he can limit some of that, hey, man, don't make that throw situations, I think he'll be really good. Wide receivers, I didn't think they were great. I thought Benson looked about the best. I thought that the wide receivers could have helped him a lot more just holding on to the ball. Like Kentron had one that he dropped that was wide open really early that would have, you know, gone for 15, 20 yards, right? And frustrating to watch the drops. I mean, Williamson dropped one down on the goal line. I think Williamson dropped another one at one point. And then I think there was one more drop that I'm just not remembering right now. Maybe it was Morlock. I'm not 100% sure, but drops were a problem. If you add four completions to DJ's total, he's probably looking at like 200 yards, and he has the touchdown to Williamson, and he's like 16 of 22 or whatever it was. So yeah, drops were a massive issue and have to get better. It's something that's been talked about during spring, something that was talked about during the first scrimmage. We talked about it in our update on here that drops were an issue, and they have continued to be an issue now. How does Florida State address that? Can we get that better through the offseason? Can we get that better once we get over closer to Dublin? Do they go to the portal to look for a wide receiver? I'm not sure. I think they probably should. I think Malik's probably your closest thing to a wide receiver one. Kentron at like full health and catching everything that goes his way is probably really close to that too. He is incredibly talented, but I do think that you probably need a little bit more in that room as far as a top level guy. Benson super fast. I like the Pokey Wilson comparison there. Obviously you're worried about his injury. To me, it looked like an ankle. It looked like that's where he was grabbing. You can literally just tell when the replay is being shown and he's grabbing his, you know, foot area as opposed to his knee. That's somewhat of a good sign unless it's broken. I don't anticipate that it's broken, but we'll see. Right. I haven't checked in or anything this morning. So we'll see what happens there. Fingers crossed, because he did look really good, and you certainly like to have him available. But thankfully, it wasn't a knee, so could just be a sprain. We'll see if anybody says anything. If we can find anything out, we'll certainly update you in our Discord, which you can get by signing up at patreon.com/DFNS. We'll have some news and notes on both his and the other Alabama transfer, TJ Ferguson's injury, which that one does worry me a little bit more. It looked like he was grabbing towards his knee. That one, you know, fingers crossed that I just saw that wrong, but it looked like a knee to me. It looked like it was kind of mid leg. I'd love to be wrong there. Maybe just hyperextended. Maybe it's nothing super serious, but didn't look great the way he was kind of slapping the ground. You know, prayers up to TJ Ferguson, hopefully not lost for the year. Again, no inside info. Haven't asked anybody about that yet, but it just didn't look great. Benson's looked like, I think he'll be fine. Ferguson's certainly worried me. Another Alabama transfer, Roydell Williams, looked really, really good at times. I thought that he ran super well. I thought that he had that one long run where DJ held on to it for a while and then handed it off, you know, kind of on the read option. I thought that he ran the ball very effectively. I thought all the running back, I mean, I could see us running the ball 60, 65% of the time. I think all the running backs looked really good. Holmes had the truck run where he ran over Brown. I thought Brown got low and looked like he was going to get the tackle, and Holmes just got lower. And, you know, super effective. Brown's not a bad tackler at all. Any questions that have ever existed about him have not been about tackling. And so, yeah, I thought that because Holmes looked really good, you know, when Jalen Lucas got the ball out of the backfield, he is absolutely shot out of a cannon. He absolutely is up to full speed in about half a second. And he's hard to get. He's a little guy who is absolutely elusive and looked really, really good. I thought he had a good day. I thought all the running backs looked really good. And I think Toa Fili, we didn't even mention Toa Fili. Toa Fili was fine. I don't think they played him much intentionally just because they know what they have there. But, I think the running back room is really, really good. And I think you've got a lot of talent and a lot of weapons back there. I know you lost Hill. Obviously, you lose Benson to the NFL. But I think you're still really happy with how that room looks. Got questions about Cam Davis. He was being held out with an undisclosed injury. Had gotten banged up at another time during spring here recently. And just didn't want to aggravate anything any further. I'm not super concerned there. I think he'll be fine. I saw rumors floating around of like, oh, is he unhappy? No, he just a little banged up, and I think he'll be fine here coming up soon. Defense was better than offense at this point. You know, I know that we got some long runs off, but you got to remember that Farmer's not in there. I don't love our defensive tackle depth outside of, I like Lyons. I know that Braden Fisk was on there saying that KJ Sampson could be somebody that surprises, but I thought Jackson played really well. I thought MJJ and Pat played well. I mean, did enough. I know Pat wasn't in there, absolute ton. Cause you what you have there. MJJ with the pass breakup early when he was dropping back into coverage was really impressive. Obviously gets everybody excited. But I thought the defensive line was pretty good considering, Farmer not being in there, banged up during the spring and not participating. He's locked in, he's focused. I think the defense was overall better. Doesn't surprise me much. Defense usually better at this point in the spring, and not a new quarterback, right? If it was Jordan out there, maybe it looks a little bit better. Although Jordan wasn't really great in spring games either. Azrae Thomas, I thought, was really, really good on the day. I thought that he did a great job. I thought all the corners looked really good. I thought Edwin Joseph looked good at times. I thought Fintrell Cypress looked really good at times. I think the secondary is going to be really good, but probably the biggest surprise was how the linebackers played. I thought the linebackers played really, really well. Obviously Murphy gets banged up at one point, comes back in and still is able to make a difference. People talked about Cryer in coverage was really good, better than people expected. What you're going to get out of Lundy if you can get similar to Lundy's play out of Murphy, and then Cryer or Graham or others can step up and be that extra piece, then I think you'll be pretty happy with the linebacker group. I don't think that they need to be satisfied at some of these positions. I think they can go out and get a little bit more, but I thought the linebackers were kind of a pleasant surprise, probably played better than I was hoping. I think if I had concerns on this team, my biggest concern is probably linebacker play, wide receivers up there as well on the offensive side. Defensive line depth is probably like third, and then that's it. I feel really good about where this team is. Norvell's been talking about them being bigger and faster and stronger. They kind of look that way, right? Like they look more like, hey, this is a real football team, like back up 5 years ago and just put the side-by-sides up, and you'll see what I mean by that. But yeah, I think they look a lot better. I understand that a lot of that star talent of Verse and Benson and Keon and Jordan and different guys are gone, but I really like the way that this team looks just as a unit, as a complete unit. If I had concerns, it'd be linebacker play, which got answered a little bit yesterday, needs to continue to improve. Defensive line depth, I think they'll address that in the portal, or at least attempt to address that in the portal. And then the wide receiver room. Can we find a wide receiver one? Tight end would be a position I think you could look at as well if you can kind of find it'd be nice to find a Jaheim Bell in there, but we'll see kind of what the tight end room may look like. I thought Jackson West looked pretty good. Not a name that maybe many people were expecting. I asked about Jackson West last year and just like, hey, what are the thoughts here? Is this a possible, I asked one at one point, is this a possible transfer candidate? And I was told, no, we absolutely love him. We think he's going to contribute at one time or another. And we're excited about having him on this roster. And, he made some big catches yesterday, got open a few times, probably played better than anybody was expecting him to. Overall, again, too many drops. I thought it was a rough day for Byers. I didn't think he was particularly good. I haven't gone back and done a rewatch yet, but it seemed like he was getting pushed back quite a bit. Obviously, Rob Scott not around in the spring. I've been told to expect Rob Scott by the time that fall gets here. although we've been told that year after year, and he seems to struggle with some injuries, so we'll see kind of what that looks like. But I liked the starting offensive line. I mean, they're just going to need more time together. I liked the offensive line of Washington Byers on the edges, Ferguson there in the middle, Keandre in the middle, and then Smith at center. I thought that was good. Again, worry is a little bit about Ferguson. Where is he at? What does he end up being able to bring? Is he able to get back? Was it a knee? What's the situation with Benson? We'll certainly keep that updated. Again, you can check our Discord, patreon.com/DFNS, to get access to that. Listen, we didn't do a really heavy ad read on this. We do have some new partners that we're excited to tell you about. If you have a business or a service or anything that you need to get the name out there for, we've recently gone over like 5 million views. We're closing it on 6. Do me a favor and hit us up. You can hit my email. It's just tj@doublefriesnoslaw.com. If you'd like to partner with us in any way, get your brand, service, or name out there, we'd be happy to assist. Let me know your thoughts on the spring showcase. Again, I'm not a huge fan of this. I'm not a huge fan. I think in a few years, we may just not even have spring showcases. I don't necessarily think they're that entertaining. You learn a little bit, but you know, just a day that you may go out and end up having some injuries, right? Like just like any other practice, I suppose. But, you know, they're not super entertaining. It's hard to take stuff away. It doesn't seem like it's something that the program cares very much about. The football account did not tweet or post one Instagram post during the showcase. They posted about the alternate uniforms, which, you know, if you have a hot take on the turquoise uniform and you want to put that in the comments, that's fine. They posted that, and then they posted something at like 8 or 9 p.m., you know, a touchdown that was during the celebrity coaches portion of the game. So they didn't post about it once during. I think that's pretty telling. They don't care about it either. They just, you know, hey guys, you get the day off today. Don't worry about, you know, tweeting or anything. When usually you'd expect them to like the Keziah Holmes run, just screen cap that and show the replay. They didn't post once. They just do not care about it at all. So I don't know. Maybe this isn't even a thing in a few years, but some takeaways, some things that I was impressed with, some things they need to fix up. We'll do a more in-depth portal video at some point, like different targets, different things they're attacking. Again, we're going to talk about some of those portal guys in our Discord today that I think Florida State's going to go after. Now that the sanctions are up, now that today's the last day that we can't contact people, kind of finally talk about some of those things. But overall, a good day. Again, I liked what I saw from DJU. You pray for the injuries that they're not as serious as they looked. Don't be surprised with some portal entries this week. Some guys on the sideline in uniform or not in uniform. Again, not everybody that didn't dress out is going to hit the portal, but there are some guys that are going to hit the portal that didn't dress out yesterday. Some that did dress out yesterday. So keep your eyes on that. Florida State needs to lose some scholarships to be able to add some more as well. So don't be super shocked when you see some. Just hope that it's not any of your main big guys, which I don't expect it to be. Hopefully, if you were in Tallahassee this weekend, you stopped by Garnet and Gold. If you weren't in Tally, or if you just didn't stop by because of whatever reason, we won't give you too hard of a time, but make sure that you go to garnetandgold.com. Make sure you use No Slaw, NOSLAW, at checkout for 15% off the best FSU merchandise in the game. garnetandgold.com. They had a little renovation over there to the main store at Pensacola Street. Looked great. I saw Jarian Jones out there. Of FSU fans as well. So make sure that you are supporting Garnet Gold if you are getting gear for FSU athletics. Richie, the portal is open right now. I want to ask you this before we go too much farther. It doesn't seem to be as crazy and as insane as it was being predicted. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that heats up this week with, you know, obviously Florida State will have several guys jumping in and have already had a couple of guys jump in, but it's not as crazy. Like people were, you know, I'll just say it, Josh Pate and others were saying that this was going to be the most insane. And I like Pate. I know that people are, you know, have very strong opinions there. I was expecting it to be a little crazier than it has been so far.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I'm not sure if all spring games or showcases or whatever we want to call this event these days that have completed, but I would imagine once, you know, for Florida State specifically, I'm sure Mike Norvell is having those exit interviews this week, and I would not be surprised to see several Florida State names pop up in that portal, whether it be they're just not happy with the playing time they're getting or what they think they're projecting to get come this fall, or maybe Mike Norvell is suggesting, hey, you know, maybe this isn't the place for you. You know, you have a great ability, great talents, maybe explore other options. We'll see what happens. I saw Rodney Hill ended up at Arkansas. I think that's a great fit for him. Shout out to him. But yeah, I do think once conversations between coaches and players, not just at Florida State, but throughout the entire Southeastern country, once those conversations start happening, I do think the portal is going to get very active within the next week or two.
Yeah. Well, it. I think there are, what, 9 or so days left of the portal. So, now obviously, you can transfer at any point, or you can land at any point, but you got to get in the air, I guess, is maybe the your plane has to take off. And so, first half, not as crazy as maybe some were expecting, but with about a week to go, maybe not 8-9 days to go, certainly could heat up. Yeah, I expect some Florida State guys to jump in. I wouldn't be surprised if an offensive lineman or two jumped in. Again, gonna avoid, you know, names or rumors of this, that, and the other. Wouldn't be surprised if a couple of wide receivers jumped in. Wouldn't be surprised if, I don't know, maybe a tight end or two jumps in. You know, I saw Jaden Floyd, which, you know, son of William Floyd, jump in. Yeah, he was a walk-on. I think he wants to, if he can go somewhere and actually play, I think he'll be really jacked about that. And obviously a really good Seminole that goes out and supports everywhere. So, you know, excited about, you know, guys moving on at the end of the day, you know, Florida. I mean, I know that sounds terrible, but yeah, that's what you got to do. You know, if you're going to continue to raise the talent level, you've got to have some departures, and that just kind of is what it is. I don't mean that in a crass way. I don't think there are any departures that I'm looking forward to that are just like super negative, you know, we need to get these cancers off the team like we've potentially had in the past. I think it's more just about, you know, upgrading the roster kind of everywhere. And so I think Florida State's got a chance to do that. I wouldn't be surprised to see some defensive linemen jump in. And then at all those positions that we've just mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised to see Florida State pull some guys. I think that defensive line is a position that you could see, defensive tackle especially. I've been told that they might take one or two defensive tackles. I think wide receivers are a really big position group to kind of look out for. I thought Benson looked good yesterday, as we talked about in the spring game recap, but I didn't think the wide receiver room was very impressive outside of that, and I don't know that Benson can be your all-time number one guy. Kind of a Pokey Wilson, you know, comparison there, which I really like Pokey. I thought he was really good. I don't know that he would be your number one for a full season. I think, you know, him getting to play beside Johnny, it, you know, was a big compliment. So wide receiver, tight end, maybe tackle if somebody good enough jumped in. Yeah, I didn't love the way that Byers played yesterday. Rob Scott, I'm told, should be back, but we'll see. We've been told that for years, I feel like, and it hasn't happened. So I think you could see a linebacker maybe as another one. So defensive back, I feel really good on. Running back feels great. Quarterback, fine. Offensive line, for the most part, if you can get a really good tackle, that'd be great. And then anywhere else, like if there's a difference maker, like, I, you know, Fentrell jumped in late, you know,
like
you
were Keon, able to add,
yeah, Keon Coleman, stuff like that. Yeah, like you'll take it any position, probably outside of quarterback and maybe running back. I think you feel really good there. Yeah, if a lockdown number one corner comes available, I mean, you're probably going to throw your hat in the ring and see if you can get them, because you're just going to add to that depth. So yeah, defensive end, I mean, place you're really deep at, you know, if you could get it. I mean, if a Jared Verse or a Marvin Jones Jr. or Jermaine Johnson or even a Keir Thomas type jumps in, I don't think you're going to turn that away. But I think defensive tackle, wide receiver, tight end, linebacker would be my big four. If you can get a really good offensive tackle. Left tackles don't just grow on trees. They don't necessarily just jump in the portal all the time. So, you know, I don't know how effective they'll be at that position looking, but that'd be kind of what I was looking for out of this portal and, you know, what I've been told that Florida State's going to go after.
Yeah. And there's already been a couple, you know, very sought after defensive tackles hop in the portal. So it'll be interesting to see how Florida State does there. If you're listening to this, it's probably Monday the 22nd. Florida State can be fully active in the portal. Obviously, we had that 1 week off where we could not reach out to players directly. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some back channel conversations or players reaching out to players. Or the people in the portal could reach out to our coaching staff. You know, they can take the calls. They just can't make the calls. But I agree, TJ. You know, the unfortunate part is a starting left tackle on the offensive line. You know, if they're not hopping in the portal in the spring, most likely, you know, if they're that good, their current school is going to do everything in their power to keep them there. But yeah, I would love to see another linebacker. You know, if you can get a couple elite offensive linemen, again, I don't know how many of those are popping in the portal. And, you know, that's quite the bidding war. I don't know if you heard Braden Fisk did an interview with Barstool, and he said USC offered him like $400,000. So the market for these players, once they hop in the portal, if they're elite, is ridiculous. And, you know, Florida State wants to be active. You know, Mike Norvell's kind of, you know, become the portal king, so to speak. And I'm looking forward to seeing what does happen. And, you know, I'm not expecting TJ, and you correct me if you think differently. I don't think Florida State's going to lose any players that they're really leaning on heading into the fall that they know are impact guys that are part of the plan for the 2024 season.
I'd be pretty surprised at this point. I mean, anything could happen, right? It is a wild time of college football where tampering is allowed. And actually, I wouldn't say tampering is allowed. I just don't think they're going to do anything about it at this point. So I'll rephrase it like that. Where tampering is pretty rampant. And, you know, if you've got a kid on your roster that you expect to contribute and somebody comes along and offers him four times what you're paying him, are you confident that you're keeping him? You know, like, is he worth that much more to you? Right. There'd be certain guys on your roster you'd say are, but you know, if somebody was to offer, I fully expect, I'll use the example just so that I, you know, people don't say like, oh, he thinks this is going to happen. I fully expect, Marvin Jones Jr. to be on this roster in 2024. If somebody offered Marvin Jones Jr. $2 million and say you're paying him $500,000. That's a guess. I don't know that. If somebody offered him $2 million, is he worth that? Is he worth like four times what you're paying him? Now, I don't expect anybody to offer them that. I don't know that we're even paying him that. I don't know. But do you blame him? Like, I don't even blame him if he leaves. Like,
no.
And I don't blame Ingram for not upping his pay. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, Ingram should have paid to keep him. Now, I think there are certain positions you'd really like to keep to pay. But anyway, that's my example, right? Like, so yeah, I don't expect anybody. Could there be insane situations that happen and teams are desperate and, you know, yes, there could.
Yeah.
I don't expect it, though.
I think it's not unique to Florida State, right? It's not unique to just us. This is every school, mainly in the Southeast, and throw in the USC as well.
Yeah, I think it's nuts, but I don't expect anything crazy. I think there will be guys that people like that jump in the portal. That's just going to be part of it. But Florida State's over their scholarship limit right now. And I think they want to add some guys too. So you've got to drop some guys. I mean, just is what it is. So we'll see if things get a little more insane over the next week. They will get more busy for Florida State for sure. So obviously keep an eye out on what they do in the portal. But I'm not super nervous about anybody. No. There's nobody in the two deep that I'm like, oh man, I think we're going to lose this guy, and I'm super worried about it. You could see some guys go that could have made impacts, but I think Florida State, you know, I think we have 13 wide receivers on scholarship right now. If any of them went, I wouldn't be thrilled about it, but I mean, I don't think anybody's like that much better than anybody else in the wide receiver room, so just kind of see what happens. Florida State is back in court. We won't be too much longer. Tomorrow against the ACC, we will have an update with Doug Rohan at some point after it. But just as an FYI, Florida State back in court tomorrow on the 22nd, or again today if you're listening to it on Monday. Any thoughts there, Richie, or just want to around the hornet?
Yeah, man, I mean, we all want a resolution as soon as possible. It's going to take some time. So, well, you know, just let it play out. You know, there will be positive updates. There will be negative updates. But Florida State is doing everything in their power to get out of this godforsaken conference. And that's where we're at as far as that goes.
Let's do a quick around the horn. Big shout out to FSU's men's tennis team, who won their very first ACC championship in program history. I spoke with Dwayne Holdquist, their head coach, when I was in Tallahassee 2 weeks ago, and he said, we're really close. We're not playing our best yet, but we're really close. They had just dropped a match to the number five team in the country when I was up there. Really fun match, but they just barely lost it. They lost 4-3. Today and this week, they won four straight matches to to win the ACC championship. They beat Virginia, who was the number two team in the country. Men's golf is going to make match play of their ACC championship. Softball swept Florida State's baseball team with a little bit of a tough week, losing 2 1-run games to Georgia to Wake Forest. Tough. Dropped a couple of late games. Bullpen kind of lets you down, but they're down a couple of starters, which makes the bullpen's job tougher. And beach volleyball plays in their conference championship this weekend in Alabama. I have some family really close to there, Richie. I'm going to go up for it. Nice. See some family, go to beach volleyball. That my family lives like 30 minutes away. So should be fun taking the kids, and they're favored to win it. So we'll see if we can get one more conference championship before the year's over. I guess track and field has a chance at it too at the end of the year. So, that's my around the horn. Richie, any shout outs before we get out here?
Yeah, TJ, I saw you had a post. How did Florida State do against Miami in sports this year?
Oh, a great year. Every time they took on Miami, they won. Like it was, you know, I won't even go into what it was, but they did drop one match to Miami at one point. They got revenge there in every single sport that they took them on, and they beat them. Even Florida State's men are
rugby, ABC, right?
Yeah, Miami didn't. Well, I was gonna say Miami didn't even make the ACC championship in men's golf, but in women's golf, Florida State also finished ahead of Miami in their one matchup head to head. So, literally, I mean, you can add golf to it, I guess, as well, as Florida State finished sixth there and Miami finished ninth. But yeah, 13 wins against, I mean, plus golf, 13 wins against Miami this year, just total domination. Yeah, that was a fun graphic to put together. And I was just like praying the women's tennis team was the one to finish it off. I was praying that they would finish it off so that I could actually post it.
And they did. So shout out Florida State for owning our rivals down south.
Yeah, little brothers, thank you for coming this year, I guess. You know, like, thanks for showing up. So, all right, I think we're good. Make sure that you get over to the YouTube and hit the subscribe button there if you haven't already. Thank you guys for hanging out. Make sure you're subscribed here on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listened. I appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Go Noles.